Today on our Gospel Truth broadcast, I'm going to talk about three types of unbelief. And the answer or the antidote for these unbelief are different. And so we're going to discuss this and show you how you can overcome unbelief in your life. This will help. Stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a teaching on God Wants You Well. Today is the last day of our fourth week. Four complete weeks I've spent teaching on this, and we still have another couple of weeks to go. And I tell you, I have covered some things that just could transform your life. I've really been built up and blessed by the teaching. I know that some people think that's prideful or arrogant to think that you're blessed by your own teaching. But the way I look at it is, if it doesn't bless me, I don't know why it ought to bless you. Amen. It's the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's exciting to me what God has revealed to me. And this is an area that isn't just theory with me. I've tried to make it clear through this series that I don't claim I've got everything figured out and that I do everything perfectly. But, you know, I've come from a person who had no power to overcome a cold, a headache, or anything, to a person that has walked in supernatural divine health for 38 years, haven't had any medication, and don't get sick. I've had sickness knock on the door. I've had things come at me, but I mean, I'm able to overcome them in quick order so that I don't consider it that I've been sick. I've had symptoms of sickness hit me, and I'm able to overcome them and not let things drag on for days. And, you know, it's working in my life is the point that I'm saying. And it excites me. I know what this has done in my life. And I believe that this has the potential to just radically change your life. And also I can say that concerning my witness to other people, that I probably use testimonies of healing as often as anything to demonstrate that God is alive and that how God's kingdom works. And I believe that the same thing's going to happen for you. It'll not only benefit you personally, but it's going to help you and enable you to minister to other people. You get people well, and it's easy to see them born again. And I remember one time in Dublin when the very first time we took our students over to Dublin, Ireland, and we had meetings, and we saw over 200 dope addicts. Most of them were dope pushers healed. And it started with a young lady named Melody, who is a heroin addict, and she had hemorrhaged, and she looked like she was pregnant. She was dying in the last stages of death, and I called her out, prayed with her, and within 5 or 10 minutes, her stomach was flat. She was instantly sober. She was healed. She got born again. She started bringing people, and we saw over 200 dope addicts born again in Dublin, Ireland, saw a great move of God. And healing was a very important part of it. So I think it's very good, the things that we've been teaching, and I'm excited about the potential of it for impacting your life and people around you. This last few days, we've been talking about why isn't everyone healed? And I've already covered a lot of this. I don't have time to go back and redo it, but this same question was asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. His disciple says, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And he didn't say that it's because you don't have faith. You just weren't believing. No, they were believing. That's why they asked this question. People who don't believe that God heals today aren't asking why people aren't healed because they don't believe that people get healed. The people who have questions about why isn't everyone healed are people who believe that it's God's will to heal, and yet that's not all there is to it. Jesus didn't say it's not because you don't have faith or because you have little faith. If you've got that NIV translation, I've already talked about that. That is a total misrepresentation of this verse, the way it was translated. It's exactly like the King James here is saying. Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. And I'm going to say this very quickly. I don't want to go back and reteach my last couple of days, but this is such a rare thing that I'm saying. Most people have never heard this, and I know that there's new people listening today, and you may not get the full impact of it, but I just hadn't got time to go back and re-preach this. But you can believe and yet still not be healed because you have unbelief that negates or cancels, counterbalances your faith. So it's really not a matter of whether you have faith or not. Did you know if you believe that it's God's will for you to be healed, then you have enough faith to be healed. You don't have a faith problem. You got an unbelief problem. You got all of the other baggage about what everybody has said about why it won't work and about you are too ungodly and you aren't good enough and you aren't worthy enough. And there could be just a million different things of unbelief that counteracts or negates your faith. You know, I've heard many people testify that over in foreign countries, people that have never heard the word before come and they hear somebody just one time quote one scripture that by his stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, and people instantly come out of wheelchairs, the lame walk, the blind see, and they haven't had time to grow in faith and become strong in faith and amass this huge amount of faith. They just have a tiny bit of faith, but the deal is they don't have all of the unbelief that we have. Not only in the natural realm, but in the Christian realm, there has been so much wrong teaching about healing and health and things like this that it hinders people receiving from God. But you don't need a huge faith. You know, I heard Reinhard Bonnke one time being interviewed on the 700 Club, and he was talking about Reinhard Bonnke, if you don't know him, is a man that has seen great miracles happen. Matter of fact, there's a documentary out about a guy who was dead for a number of days. I think it was at least 2 days, might have been 3 or 4 days. And his wife brought him to these meetings and he was raised from the dead after being dead 4 days. And Reinhard Bonnke sees great miracles happen and things like this. And so Pat Robertson was interviewing him and then they opened it up to questions from the audience. And one of the questions was, why do people in these third world countries seem to be healed easier than in these developed countries? Is it because they have more faith? And if you've been following my teaching here, I've been making the point that you don't have to have this huge amount of faith. A little mustard seed amount of faith is enough to get things done if it's pure and not negated, canceled by unbelief. You have to have a pure faith, not a big faith, but just a simple, pure faith. And so when this question came about why do these other countries seem to receive healings better, is it because they have more faith? My ears perked up and I wanted to hear what Reinhard Bonnke had to say. And his answer was exactly along the lines of what Jesus said right here. Reinhard Bonnke's answer was, "You Americans are the only place he had been on the face of the earth where people have this concept of big faith and little faith." He says, you either believe or you don't believe. He says, you don't need huge faith. You just need a simple, pure faith. Basically, that's what Jesus was saying right here. It's not the fact that these disciples didn't believe, but they had unbelief that countered or negated their faith. It pulled in the opposite direction. So here again is Jesus' answer. Why couldn't we do it? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, that means truly, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He's talking about that faith is so strong that you could just literally speak to a mountain, and without ever touching it, without ever doing anything, if you believed with zero doubt to negate it, dilute it, then that faith is so powerful, it can move a mountain without touching it just by speaking it to it. That mountain would be translated into the sea. Some people think, well, I don't believe that. Well, then apparently you don't have mustard seed amount of faith. Amen. But that's how powerful faith is. And then in the next verse, now this is really critical that you understand this. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, most people have interpreted this. I've read commentaries on this. I've heard sermons on this. And the vast majority of people interpret this verse as saying this kind of demon only goes out by prayer and fasting. And from this, people will teach that there are some demons that are stronger than other demons. And some demons, you can't just rebuke them in the name of Jesus and see them go. But you've also got to fast to go along with it. I remember one time when I was in Childress, Texas, that there was a woman, long story, but she had been having these demons walk into her house. She could see them, and they talked to her. She heard them, and eventually she said it was Satan himself came and sat in a chair and gave her a date, and on this date, she was going to become totally reprobate with no chance of ever being reconciled unto God. And this woman had a family. She had a husband, kids, and she had just lost it. I mean, they would have committed her to a lunatic asylum if they would have taken her to the authorities. But instead, they called me. They said, would you pray for her and cast these demons out of her? And I said, yes. And they said, but this is a bad case. This is really hard. And I said, no problem. And they just kept pressing. And finally, they said, this is so bad, you've got to fast. And so they made me fast for 7 days before they would bring this woman to me. And I did it. You know, if I was doing that now, every time I ministered to a person, if I had to fast 7 days, I'd be plumb gone by now. Amen. But anyway, I did this. It's long story short. Some people think that there are just certain demons that you've got to fast to get them out. This is not saying that there are demons that won't respond to the name of Jesus and faith in His name. That's not what this is saying. And if you ever meet a demon that won't respond to the name of Jesus through faith, well, then your fasting and prayer is not going to get them out either. If you're fasting and prayer, do not cast out certain kinds of demons. The subject of the sentence, if you'd go back into the 20th verse, was unbelief. They said, why can't we cast this demon out? Because of unbelief. And then he says, this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, goes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. That's a powerful statement. So, I've made this point that you can believe and have enough faith to receive healing from God, but you can have fear, unbelief, all of these things that pull in the other direction, and that cancels out your faith. How is it that you get rid of this unbelief that negates the effect of your faith? Well, first of all, let me just point this out. In verse 21, he said, howbeit this kind goeth out. Apparently, there are different kinds of unbelief. I don't know a verse in Scripture that just lists different types of unbelief and makes this, you know, clear and puts all of these things concisely in one verse. But in my study of the Word, I've come up with three basic kinds of unbelief. The first kind is an unbelief that comes from ignorance. The second type is an unbelief that comes from wrong teaching. And then the third type of unbelief is what I call natural unbelief. And I believe that that's what this is talking about in Matthew 17:21. First of all, a type of unbelief that comes from ignorance is, you know, it's the Scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't hear the Word of God, you won't have faith in an area. And you've got to have some belief system. All unbelief is, really, is faith in a wrong direction, in a negative direction. You know, we could spend more time trying to define this, but I really believe that's true. Faith is believing God, trusting His promises. Unbelief is believing something else. It doesn't have to be out of rebellion. It doesn't have to be mean-spirited. It just means that you haven't heard the truth. You know, if a person has never heard about Jesus, they aren't going to have faith to trust Him as their Savior, not because they've necessarily rejected Him. They've just never heard it. It's ignorance. You can't have faith in an area that you've never heard the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if you have unbelief because you've just never heard the truth, how do you deal with that? You tell a person the truth. You show them the Word of God. I'm convinced that during this series, there are many of you watching this program that have never seriously thought about healing because it is not taught in most churches. And so there are many people that just out of ignorance, or if you want to be kinder and more polite, lack of knowledge. It basically translates to ignorance. Like, man, I'm not saying that to be hard on anybody. I'm just saying you don't know. Religion has not taught most people, and you aren't going to have faith. You're just automatically going to believe the wrong thing because you haven't heard the right knowledge. You're ignorant in an area. You know how you solve that? you teach them the Word. And I believe that there are thousands, millions of people around the world who've been watching these programs, who have heard truths that you've never heard expounded in your church, and faith has come unto you. And if you had unbelief about healing, it wasn't rejection, you weren't bitter, you hadn't had a negative experience and just saying, I will not believe, but you just didn't believe in healing because you'd never heard. Well, I believe that there are thousands, possibly millions of people that have had that kind of unbelief done away with by just hearing the truth. Now, it's a process. You don't just instantly hear the truth and overcome 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years worth of unbelief. But now you've got the truth, and as you continue in it, if you will just stand on that and renew your mind, you will start seeing miraculous results. In a way, did you know that if your unbelief comes through ignorance, it's easy to overcome that. Easy. Because all you do is tell a person the truth. And once you've heard the truth, you aren't ignorant anymore. You all of a sudden know the truth, and it's easy to overcome that. The second type of unbelief, where you have been taught the wrong thing, and therefore you are believing something other than what the Word of God says because you've been taught wrongly, that is harder to overcome because instead of you just countering this, I mean, instead of you just being ignorant, it's like if you had a blackboard or something, and if you were going to write on that blackboard, if that blackboard hadn't been written on, well, then you just start writing. But if that blackboard had already been written on, and if it was full of stuff, then you would have to erase it. You might, depending on how much was on there, you might have to go clean that blackboard before you could get it clean enough that you could start writing. So it takes more effort to write on a blackboard that had already been written on than one who had never been written on. Well, likewise, a person who doesn't know the truth, they're in a sense like a blank piece of paper, a clean blackboard or whiteboard. You've never had anything written on it. So it's easy to put out the truth and they receive that. But when a person has been taught the wrong thing, for instance, if you've been taught that God doesn't heal today, that miracles passed away with the apostles, that God wants you to be sick, that nothing happens without His permission, therefore God has been the one who has allowed this, you are sick and learning something as punishment, judgment. If you've been taught any of those wrong things, you've got to erase that unbelief and get rid of that before you can begin to start really seeing your faith produce. And so that's a harder situation because now you've got to overcome the wrong teaching and put in the right teaching. But the antidote is basically the same. For the person who's never heard ignorance or the person who's been taught wrong, the answer to both of those situations is tell a person the truth. That's what I've been doing on my television programs. Now for today is the end of 4 weeks that I've been teaching on this subject and trying to get forth these truths. Those that have never heard this can latch on to it, and in a process of time with renewing of your mind, you can start seeing healing come to pass. Those of you that have been taught against this, well, it's going to be harder because you're going to have to systematically go through and tear down every wrong teaching that you've had that tells you God wants you to be sick instead of God wants you to be well. But the answer is basically the same. Both of those types of unbelief, you just tell a person the truth, and when you tell them the truth, maybe one with more effort than the other, you renew your mind, and you go on, and your faith begins to work. But there is a third type of unbelief, and that's what I believe that Jesus spoke of here when He said this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, only goes out through prayer and fasting. I believe that this third type of unbelief is what I call, and this is just my terminology, it's what I call natural unbelief. In other words, it's not because you haven't heard the truth, and it's not because you've been taught wrong, but there are just things that naturally will cause you to disbelieve God. For instance, you have, you know, however old you are, if you're 20 years old, up to 100 years old, however old you are, you've spent all of these years trusting what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears, what you feel. You've been taught to go by your five senses, and you know what? That's not wrong. if you're going to drive me to the airport, I don't want you to close your eyes and drive by faith and just be led of the Lord. Man, you need to open up your eyes and you need to use those senses. That is not sin. But what if God tells you to do something that doesn't look like it's working? Are you going to be able to overcome what I'm calling natural unbelief that comes from your eyes and go ahead and trust the Word of God when it doesn't look in the natural like it's working? Like, say, for instance, if the Lord tells you, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, out of Mark chapter 16, verse 18. And so you do that, and instead of it looking good, instead that person falls over dead. Now, you've got faith, so you've already acted, you've spoken, but now you see something contrary to your faith. Well, you know what? You're automatically, just naturally, going to have a thought of unbelief because what you see looks different to what God told you. Now, if you aren't strong in your faith, then you are going to have this natural unbelief come against you. I hope you understand my analogy here. It'd be the same thing if you had pain in your body, and so you pray the Word and you say, in the name of Jesus, body, I command you to be healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I command pain to leave you. Speak to it. And then the moment you're through and you release your faith, your body is just instantly going to tell you whether you got pain or whether you don't. And if you have pain, then there is going to be a natural thought of nothing happened. It didn't work. God didn't heal me. When the Bible says that God did. Now, the Bible does show that sometimes it takes a period of time. You believe that you receive when you pray, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and you shall, future tense. It doesn't matter if it's a second or a day. You shall, future tense, have it. Jesus spoke to the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, and nothing to the visible eye looked different, but the next day they found that that fig tree had dried up by the roots. The moment God spoke, the power of God was released, but it took about 12 hours or so before it was visible to the physical eye. Now, what are you going to do in between the time you speak and something is happening in the spiritual realm? The root of that sickness has been cursed and you're healed, but there isn't a physical manifestation. And your body is saying, well, I still hurt. You look and you still got a tumor. You still got whatever it is that you were praying against. You are going to come into a conflict. Here's faith saying, I believe I receive when I pray. But here's your eyes. Here's your feelings. Here's your ears. Here's the doctor report telling you that it didn't work. And you know what? That's what I call natural unbelief. Just you are going to have a thought based on your sense knowledge because you've been trained to believe what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And you can't ignore that. You can't just go out here and if you're driving a car, say, well, I see a truck coming at me, but you know what? I just believe that it's not there. No, you have to respond to what you see. You need to take action on it. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. You can't ignore this, but at the same time, you can't let the thoughts of unbelief that come through just natural things stop you from using that little mustard seed amount of faith. How is it that this works? Well, I'm out of time today, but on our programs next week, we're going to continue this and show you how you overcome this kind of unbelief. And this will really help you. I want to encourage you to get the materials. Our announcer is going to share with you about these. We're sharing some materials here that could just transform your life, answer a lot of questions. I believe it would be a real blessing. So please listen and please call or write today and then make plans to join me next Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in one DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The third teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TI3 titled Why Isn't Everyone Healed? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th. In Little Rock, Arkansas for a men's conference August 28th and 29th, and at Agape Church on August 30th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our Ministers Conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our Ministers Conference.
And we'll see you there.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
And see, if you are just controlled by your physical senses, which is where most people are, because we haven't been taught how to be spiritual. We've been taught, you don't have to, it doesn't take a lot of effort to see something. You just open up your eyes and instantly you see and you get information fed to you.